Podcast with Patrick Woodward.
Welcome to the Worthing Podcast, our monthly look at some of the people and events which make Worthing what it is. Two stories today. In a few minutes, I'll be looking back on an event which took place in the Gilbourne Centre at the weekend, when green and sustainable food stalls came together with community-based projects to form the Community Thrive Fair. But before that, we're meeting two local artists who are making a name for themselves not just by producing amazing artwork, but by going into some local schools and spreading the message about the importance of expression through art. Let's take a walk along the promenade just east of the pier. So we've come down to Worthing Seafront, opposite the Steen Gardens, and I'm joined by Gemma and Stella, the two-faced twins. Stella, can I ask you first of all, tell me a bit about where we are, your gallery.
Yep, so this is our art gallery on Worthing Seafront. It's directly opposite Steen Gardens, and we've been here for about 4.5 years, and the gallery is full of our artwork and all of our homeware that we sell here and online through our website.
So can we do a bit of a tour? Where's the best place to start if we come off the street and into your gallery?
When you first enter the gallery, you'll see one of our most popular pieces of artwork, which is this one, which is called Making Memories. And this is a piece of artwork of Worthing Pier. It's quite a long scene and it goes really nicely above a sofa. And we drew this, I can't remember how long ago we drew this, can you? I think it was about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
This was one of the first ever pieces that we were really, really happy with.
Now, what strikes me about it immediately, the first thing you see is the bright colours. That seems to be a trait in all your work, bright colours.
Yeah, it is. So I actually do all of the colours. So how we do the artwork is Stella does all of the black and white drawing, because she's always worked in black and white when she used to do artwork as a hobby. And I've always loved colour, so I do all of the colours, and that's how we work together as a team. When we do our artwork, we just want to create joy. So, and that's what we feel like we do. Whenever people enter our art gallery, it lights people up, and people say that it really brightens their day.
Okay, well, let's have a look at one or two other things. Can we go around the corner and see what's here? So you've got some, these are on like glass, is that right?
These are surface protectors. So they're perfect to go on your worktop to make cups of tea, or you can use them as chopping boards.
And again, it's the pier. We've got Worthing Pier there, you've got Brighton Pier there, and that's Worthing Pier again, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got Bluebird Cafe, which is a cafe in Ferring. So we've got quite a few Worthing scenes, but we also have Brighton scenes as well.
London
scenes, Littlehampton and Eastbourne. So we're kind of starting to expand now. We started to do all of our work of Worthing and Brighton, but yeah, now we're expanding quite a lot.
Tell me a little bit about your background as a duo of artists, as twins. Have you always been interested in art and drawing pictures?
Yeah, so we've always absolutely loved doing artwork. Stella speaking here. So I've been drawing since I was a child, probably about 5 years old. And as I grew up, I was obsessed with drawing cartoon characters. I would make up stories, and just, I was so creative as a child. And as I got older, I started to draw things around me, such as buildings and people. But I never thought that I would do this as a career. Never even knew that it was possible, kind of. Yeah. So I went through my 20s doing loads of different jobs, pizza delivery, working in shops, all kinds of jobs that I did actually enjoy. But yeah, so that's me.
Okay. Gemma?
In school, my favourite subject was always art. And that was just my main focus, really. And it was painting for me. So I've never really been much of a drawer. I've always loved working with colours and doing very abstract paintings. And then when I left school, I sort of did it as a hobby. And then I ended up going to college to study fashion and textiles. So I studied that, got top marks in that, which is the first time I had ever got top marks in anything, because I wasn't academic at school.
Right.
So, yeah, and then quite a few years went by, and then it wasn't until we were in our mid-20s that we thought, why don't we try and start a business together? And then Stella came up with the idea of becoming twin artists, because she thought, well, we're both really creative, but in different ways. Yeah. And then as soon as she came up with that idea, we just knew that it was going to work. And we just started on that idea the next day.
Okay. So, Stella, you're twins. Does that mean that you think in exactly the same way?
That's such a difficult question, really. We get that quite a lot. But no, we don't think in exactly the same ways. We probably have a lot of similar opinions. But obviously, creatively, we're so different. Like, we're both... I think that's how it works, really. Like, we're both creative, but in extremely different ways.
One thing which is perhaps a little different about what you do is you go into schools. What's behind the going into schools, and what do you do when you get there?
I think we've always really wanted to inspire the younger generation to not only be creative, but to feel like they can achieve things. So I think the motivation behind it is the fact that when we were at school, we weren't very academic, but we were very creative. But we never really felt like that was very valued. So we left school sort of feeling a bit hopeless and thinking, what are we going to do? So now that we've managed to build a career doing artwork, we just feel really passionate about telling the younger generation and children and people that are at college that it is actually possible to have a creative career. So we've been to quite a few schools over the last couple of years. It's something that we really love doing now as part of our jobs. So when we go into the school, we deliver a presentation of about 40 minutes. So we talk for about half an hour with a slideshow up on the wall, and all the kids are sitting in the assembly hall. And we just tell them all about our journey from when we started our business and how it's progressed and the kinds of things that we wanted to do as children so that they can try and relate to us. And then we show them our artwork and all of our products, which they're really, really excited. That really excites them and gets them really enthusiastic and inspired.
Gemma and Stella have received lots of feedback from the schools they visit. I thought I'd give you some quotes read by my team.
It's been weeks since the two-faced twins visited East Preston Junior School, but the visit is still being talked about by children and staff alike. The assembly that they led inspired each year group to produce a line drawing and use colours in the style of Gem and Stella's work.
Thanks so much for visiting us again and helping inspire 95 children. They all adore your work, and so many have been bringing in artwork they've created at home in your style.
They're all so engaged and enthusiastic, which is really, really nice and encouraging for us, because we feel like as children, back when we were kids, we would have found it really useful to have creatives coming into the school and actually showing that you can do something creative for your job, because we never knew that that was possible.
Yeah.
What made it particularly engaging for the children was that they were local to the school and that their art isn't just restricted to pictures to hang, but objects like funky umbrellas too.
The children in school were fascinated to see photographs of the twins painting, and at such a young age. And this prompted a lot of discussion after, as the children suddenly believed that being an artist was achievable. The children in school were also so inspired to create art in the style of the two-faced twins that they then went on to do a whole topic using their artwork as a stimulus.
Let's have a little bit more at some of the things in the gallery here. I see you've made some of your artwork into clocks, and you've got cushions over there, and you've got little glass coasters.
So when we first started our business... we started by producing artwork, and that was the only form that people could buy our artwork in, was limited edition prints and original artwork. And then we did the artist open houses in Worthing, mm-hmm. 1 year, and for that we wanted to get some smaller items for people and more affordable items. So that's when we started getting cards and coasters and placemats, and we ended up just selling out. Everyone absolutely loved it. Yeah. And even after the artist open houses finished, we were getting people contacting us and even coming to the place, to the house where we did the artist open houses, asking us if we had any more stock. So that's how we knew that all of our cushions and coasters worked really well as well. as the artwork.
So here you are, you've got an art gallery on the seafront, which is an amazing place because you're right in front of Steen Gardens. People can find you very easy. Actually, as we've been trying to record this, people have been outside wanting to come in. What kind of response do you get from the public?
Such an amazing response. We feel very close to our customers because we get a lot of regulars, you know, coming back. And yeah, we just start to build a really good relationship with the public, really. And yeah, as soon as people start to come into the gallery, their reaction is so enthusiastic and they're like, whoa, because obviously it's just a room full of bright colours. And we get a lot of comments like, oh, this has really cheered me up. This has really brightened my day. So it's such a positive reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your title is the Two-Faced Twins. The twins thing seems to be a sort of a selling point in a way. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So do people come with a certain degree of what sort of curiosity? You know, who are you? What's this about?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's kind of the whole thing. It's a niche, isn't it? It's a unique selling point for us, and yeah, people are pretty fascinated in twins anyway.
Yeah.
So I think that just it's a bonus really for us and our business, and it captures people's attention more, the fact that we're twins.
Yeah. So where are we going with this? What's the future for you? Do you think is it possible to sort of think in terms? You've been here for a few years now. And you do the schools, and you do this amazing variety of artwork. What's next?
So we're starting to, because we've already got quite a large range of artwork of the local area and areas around Worthing. So we're starting to expand now and create artwork of further afield. So what we're doing now is we're going along the coast, creating artwork of different coastal towns.
Okay.
Because we just want to spread our brand now. We want to continue creating more and more artwork and continue visiting schools further afield and just spreading our Two-Faced Twins name, really, and helping the younger generation.
Yeah, okay. Very much that seems to be, you know, one of your aims. It's quite important to you, so that it doesn't stop with you, but you're passing something on to the next generation. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. It's really important to us. We knew that we wanted to help people in some way, but we never really were sure how, because at first it just started off being creating the artwork. And yeah, it's kind of like a natural progression, really. And it really connects with us, because as children we always struggled so much academically, but we were creative. It just feels like completely natural progression.
The Two-Faced Twins, Gemma and Stella. Why not look them up on Facebook, Instagram and YouTube, or online at twofacedtwins.com. And my thanks to Solveig and Gillian for reading the quotes.
The Worthing Podcast
with Patrick Woodward.
Now, last Saturday in Worthing, if you happened to be wandering through the Gilbourne Centre, you'd have come across a range of stalls. Some of them were selling food, others were promoting a range of community and lifestyle choices, from plant-based diets to reducing fashion waste to an accessible bank to cosmetics and even living funerals. Oh, that's an event celebrating your life before it actually comes to an end. That was the Community Thrive Fair, which seemed to be attracting an intrigued audience of passers-by, and I guess people who turned up specially for it. I went along and met some of the stallholders to get a feel of the occasion. First, I spoke to organiser Debbie Smith from CRU, the Climate Resilience Centre, Worthing. She runs the food group in CRU and told me what the Community Thrive Fair was all about.
Well, we wanted, as part of the food group in CRU, we wanted to try to encourage more people to eat plant-based food because of the climate crisis. And food is very much part of the crisis. It contributes a third of greenhouse gases, animal production, to greenhouse gases and to the climate crisis. So we wanted to try to encourage people to move more to a plant-based diet in terms of their diet and what they eat on a day-to-day basis. So we started the vegan market at South Street, which was our premises at the beginning of the year. We then lost those premises and we've managed to secure this for six sessions. And it's developed also into an eco-market and also a community-based market. So we've also got sustainable stores here, but we've also and vegan stores, but we've also got community-based schools. So like the CAB giving advice, we've got Community Bank, Boom, We've got the soup kitchen here and other food banks represented. So it's a real community-based fair. And also we're trying to encourage local businesses and a local economy. It's more of a circular economy feeling within the town. So we're trying to develop it over a period of 6 months.
That's Debbie Smith, the organiser of Saturday's event. So I wandered around and spoke to a few of the other stallholders.
It's Christina McCormack, and I'm from Shark WSK, otherwise known as Worthing Soup Kitchen.
Tell me about the origins of Worthing Soup Kitchen. Where did it come from?
We've been about for 15 years here in Worthing. We started off as literally a soup kitchen, delivering food to our homeless people and residents that were on the streets. It grew from there, and we became a charity in 2020. Thanks to support of other organisations to get charity status. And now we've got two different premises.
Have you found that in recent years the situation's got worse? Are there more homeless now than they were when you started?
We've got a lot of homeless here in Worthing. A lot are hidden, true figures. We've probably got about 30 on our streets in the moment. We've got a lot that are placed in temporary accommodation outside of area. And the problem is going to constantly grow. It's a constant issue. Mm.
So what do you actually do about it? How do you organise the food? How do you get it to them?
We do a lot of saving food from landfill. So we do a lot of work with larger chains, Tesco's, Sainsbury's, Asda, wherever we can get end-of-day food. We will cook some of that for our outreach sessions, and the rest we use via community food pantry, which is open 5 days a week in Tarring Road.
My name is Graham. I work at Boom Community Bank. I'm one of the operational managers, and our organisation is a not-for-profit, very community-centric, and we are here to provide accessible financial services to the community. Perhaps when, for example, they can't access a bank loan or a current account, or they just want another option that's local for them.
So how do you differ from the sort of the banks, you know, the banks that we all know, like Barclays and Lloyds and Nationwide and the rest of it?
So quite often it's very easy to take banking services for granted if you have access to them. We all use our current accounts every day, we may have credit cards and go about our daily lives. If you can't access those for whatever reason, perhaps you don't have a perfect credit history, you have a low credit score, or you haven't built your credit up, and then, for example, you have an emergency at home or an unexpected expense, you need to replace the cooker or boiler, you could find that you couldn't access the finances you need or the current account that you need to receive your benefits or stuff like that. So that's why we're here. Our services are more accessible to people that don't have those, like the perfect kind of credit history. So they still have access to something that's affordable, has their best interests at heart, because we're not for profit. For example, take our lending. We do debt consolidation to help people improve their disposable income, reduce their outgoings. We provide loans for all sorts of reasons. We go to lengths to make sure our loan repayments are affordable. But different to a regular bank, we build in a savings element to our loan repayments. So as everybody is repaying a loan, they save, their savings grow, and at the end of the loan, they get a pot of savings at the end of it. So it's all about helping people, supporting people, build their finances while they're with us.
My name is Mel Stickland, and I am a Tropic ambassador with Tropic Skincare.
So what is Tropic Skincare doing in a place which is all about community and renewables and food and all of that?
Well, we're here because all of our products are freshly made to order. They're all sustainably sourced. Our skincare is refillable, and we give back to the planet, making sure all of our ingredients are clean and safe for us and the environment.
So different from some of the major sort of cosmetics suppliers that we know about?
Very different indeed, yes. So we're really, really cautious about what ingredients we put onto our skin, because everything we put onto our skin ends up in our bloodstream, and we want to keep our bodies healthy.
Okay. So what brings you to an event like this?
Well, I know a couple of the people that have stalls already. We're all about cruelty-free products. We don't want to harm animals. It's unnecessary. And particularly, I think, with skincare, we don't want to be testing on animals. when we're putting things on our skin in the name of beauty. It's not necessary.
So I'm Dom. I'm a volunteer advisor at Citizens Advice, and I'm also a local councillor in Worthing.
Okay.
So I'm councillor for Northbrook Ward and the cabinet member for communities, culture and leisure.
Okay. So what is Citizens Advice doing at this event today?
So the event here today has two themes, really. It's partly a vegan market, but also a community thrive fair. Mm. So there are different stalls here today helping people with cost of living issues, which is one of the things that we help people with at Citizens Advice every day of the week. And at the moment, a lot of people are concerned about issues like pension credits. So we're here, amongst other things, to give people advice about how they can access pension credits at the moment.
Have you been busier in recent months, recent years, with the way things have changed and the cost of living crisis?
It's certainly very busy at Citizens Advice. We run a drop-in centre as well as a telephone advice and a web chat service. So generally, first thing in the morning, there are always people waiting to access our service. Yeah, and with lots of housing issues as well. So people come to Citizens Advice for help about things like evictions, getting onto the housing register, housing benefits. Yeah, lots of issues around housing in Worthing.
That's Dom Ford from Worthing Citizens Advice Bureau, ending my roundup of some of the exhibitors at the Community Thrive Fair in the Gilbourne Centre on Saturday. And I've put some more details, such as websites of the various organisations, on the Worthing Podcast Facebook page. And that's it from the Worthing Podcast for today. Join me again soon, and next month I'll be meeting two of the cast of the Worthing Theatre's panto, Robin Hood. Oh yes, I will. In the meantime, follow the Worthing Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'll see you again soon.
News and views of Worthing.
The Worthing Podcast.
With Patrick Woodward.